Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Have you ever been the target of someone's effort to pay it forward? Have you ever been the target of somebody's effort to pay it forward? One time last summer during the pandemic, Pastor Vicki and I were making our weekly visit to the Dairy Queen. All right? We were going to the Dairy Queen, and at Dairy Queen, where we live, you got to go through the drive-through, and there were several cars in line, and it was quite a wait, probably at least a 20, 25-minute wait. And, you know, we waited in line, we put in our order, and we finally got to the drive-up window at Dairy Queen to pay up for our treats and to pick up our ice cream. And to our surprise, once we got to the window, the Dairy Queen worker told us that someone ahead of us in line had paid for my peanut butter parfait. Somebody had paid for Pastor Vicky's hot fudge chocolate sundae. They paid it forward. And I was so impressed by this small gesture of kindness that I decided to pay for the people behind us, even though I had no idea who they were, and even though I didn't have any idea how much their bill would be. It was an example of how a simple act of kindness, a simple act of generosity, can spur another person to act out of kindness and generosity themselves. It turns out, and we've been talking about being able to bounce back over the past couple of weeks, it turns out that one of the biggest enemies of resiliency, especially during this prolonged pandemic and this period of time that we find ourselves in, one of the biggest enemies of resiliency isn't selfishness, it's apathy. One of the biggest enemies of resiliency is apathy. When we are unmoved to do good, we lose our ability to bounce back. And apathy, or the simple notion that, you know, I really don't care, is similar in the way that tolerating sin and isolation can weaken our resiliency and our enthusiasm and our optimism. You know, Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the most optimistic and enthusiastic people walking this earth. Unlike everybody else, we have a hope that is baked in the fact that we know how the story really ends. We know that what is happening in this world isn't the end of the story for anyone, but it is easy to let the pessimism and the idolatry of this big world throw a wet rag on the optimism and enthusiasm that emanate from the cross of Jesus and his empty tomb. And when we allow the pessimism and the idolatry of this world to hold more sway over us than the reality of the cross and the empty tomb, church, we start beginning to care a little less. I want you to hear that. When we allow the pessimism and idolatry, making other things God, when we let pessimism and idolatry in this world hold more sway over us than the reality of the cross or the empty tomb, we start beginning to care a little less and a little less. We become apathetic, not just to the things of the kingdom, but to pretty much everything in life. Life becomes dull when we become apathetic. There's very little sense of wonder in our lives. There's very little sense of adventure in our lives when we become apathetic. Our little puppy dog Pepper is the great example of enthusiasm and optimism. She hops out in the snow. She loves the snow. She gets up every day, and it's like, it is great to be alive. That's the vibe that Pepper puts off every day. And I wonder what her vibe is compared to my vibe this morning when I got up thinking, oh my goodness, I can't even move today. But there's very little sense of that wonder or that optimism or that enthusiasm in our lives as we allow apathy to take control of our being. And as things become more and more humdrum, we are lulled to sleep into some apathetic, I don't care kind of stupor that turns us into spiritual zombies. You know what I'm talking about? And then the highlight of our existence becomes much less than what we're made for. And we find ourselves falling way short of God's call for us to represent his kingdom here on earth. We settle for lesser things to get excited about. And we're not excited about the things of the kingdom anymore. Sometimes the devil likes to weigh us down with sin and pull us under like the bobber that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes the devil likes to isolate us. The devil likes to isolate us so that we are weak and vulnerable and easy prey for his schemes. But sometimes, church, the devil likes to fill us with an apathetic, I don't care type of attitude to drag us down and to set us on the bench. Because the enemy knows that some of you are not going to tolerate sin in your lives. You've been walking with Jesus too long, you're just not going to tolerate that sinful stuff anymore. Some of you are so plugged into our church community that you'll never be falling victim to isolation because you're intentionally plugged in, you're intentionally connected to the comfort and the counsel of our community at Maplewood. But some of us, may not be sin, it may not be isolation that gets us. Some of us are best neutralized by the enemy. Some of us are best neutralized by simply lulling us into a state of apathy, not really caring, not moved, not stirred, not shaken. You get up, you go through your apathetic routine, and then you go to bed and you do it all over again. Stuck in neutral, going nowhere, sitting on the bench off of the field of play, never really a threat to the enemy. That is what apathy is, and that is what apathy does. Right where the enemy wants you. Not really caring, not really motivated to do anything, just kind of out of action on the sidelines. So what are we to do? What are we to do about this? How can we effectively combat being overwhelmed by a state of apathy when times are tough and when we're hit with setback after what seems like setback in our lives? I think one of the answers to the question lies here in Hebrews chapter 10, the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We've been coming back again and again to this chapter for several weeks early in 2021 to unpack all the deep and rich wisdom that is in this chapter, the deep and rich wisdom that provides some guidance for people who were finding themselves struggling through a prolonged period of persecution and pressure. Now remember, the early Jewish Christian church to whom this Hebrew letter was written to, they knew what it was like to be under constant stress, and they knew what it was like to be under constant pressure, and they knew what it was like to be tempted to throw in the towel, and they knew what it was like to just kind of simply adopt a why does it matter, why should I care apathetic type of attitude after a time. They knew very much what it was like to be potentially overcome by apathy in their lives in an environment where it felt like everything and everyone was stacked against them. And in the midst of this, the Hebrew writer, he meets them right at their point of need in Hebrews chapter 10. With regard to fighting apathy, we turn to verse 24 in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. I want you to scroll your finger down to Hebrews 24. We're going to focus on this one verse for the next couple of moments. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds." I'm going to read that again. "Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds." What is the reset button? What is the formula for being able to push the reset button when we are starting to feel that I really don't care anymore type of attitude coming on in our lives when times are tough and we're in this prolonged pandemic shutdown and apathy is creeping in to the margins of our existence? I think the the antidote for apathy is love manifested as good deeds. The antidote for apathy is love manifested as good deeds. Apathy, if you think about it, apathy is really overcome by proactive generosity. I'm talking about being a first mover again this week, like we talked about last week. There's something about giving. I want you to think about this. There's something about giving spurred out of a sense of love for others that is energizing and is entirely motivating in our life like nothing else. There's something about doing good out of love that spurs others to do good also. It's the genius behind this whole notion of paying it forward. It's the genius behind this movement that Pastor Vicky and I experienced at Dairy Queen last summer when we were picking up our ice cream. Generosity spurs generosity out of other people. And Jesus, if you think about it, is our role model. He is our ultimate example of what it means to pay it forward. Jesus paid it forward, if you think about it, for all humanity, once and for all. And we read about that in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10, here in this very chapter. When Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just doing it for the people that were around the cross at that time or people who had come before. He was doing it for all of humanity. He was doing it for everybody else who was coming down the line behind his lifetime. Just like Dairy Queen, Jesus was teaching us how to pay it forward. And his example of unconditional love and his example of mercy and grace spur on those who receive the gift that he has given. The remedy for apathy is generosity motivated by love. But sometimes what I've found is that the path from apathy to generosity and good deeds, getting that from that path from apathy to generosity and good deeds, sometimes it needs a little more help if it is going to persist and grow. Because what happened in that line at Dairy Queen, I paid it forward in that moment. But then it's kind of like that motivation maybe wasn't as strong as I drove home and ate my ice cream. So what do we do to keep that attitude of giving, proactive giving, being a first mover? What do we do to keep that growing? That's what I want to address in the next couple of moments as we gather here together. Sometimes being blessed by someone who pays it forward, it does inspire us like it did that day at Dairy Queen. But then the inspiration kind of gets snuffed out. It doesn't last. It's kind of like lighting a candle on a windy day outside. The wick will catch fire, but it can be quickly extinguished by the winds. And sometimes that inspiration to give, to be generous, to be a first mover is lit in us by an act of kindness by somebody else. But then something happens in our life, tough times or a setback comes up, and that motivation to be generous and to give and other focused, it is snuffed out by the setbacks that we encounter. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Where the setback, it just kind of saps the momentum out of your life. It sucks the momentum out of each and every one of us. So how do we stoke this flame of giving, of generosity, of doing good deeds to others to spur them on to good deeds? How do we stoke that flame in our life so we can become more resilient and better able to be bouncers back in the midst of adversity? I think, first of all, it has to start deep within. It has to start deep within. Generosity has to come from deep within our souls. It has to come from deep within our souls, and it has to be rooted in love. It has to be rooted first in a love, not for others, but it has to be rooted in a love first for God. It has to be rooted in a love for God that then transforms our love for other people. The best way to spur generosity in action is to begin practicing generosity and giving in your own heart towards the Father in heaven. I think, friends, it starts within. It starts by giving God praise. Praise. Give praise to God, giving praise to God in spite of the circumstances. Giving praise to God in spite of the circumstances. Praise, in its very essence, is expressing love for God from the depths of our souls. Praise is a love song to God. If you really want to start pumping the well of generosity and giving in your life, in your heart, start giving God praise in the midst of the storm. If you really want to start priming the pump, praise God in spite of your circumstances. It is easy to give praise when everything is going well in our lives. It's really easy to come to church when you had a great week and there's no challenges and everything's just spunky and fine in your life. It's easy to give praise on those Sundays, but true praise, meaningful praise to God, rooted in love, is born out of hardship and in the midst of a trial and in the midst of the setbacks. When we give God praise, church, in the hard times, it's kind of like what happens to a lump of coal that's under pressure. When coal is pressed down under extreme circumstances for a prolonged period of time, what happens? We all know what happens. That lump of coal becomes a diamond. That lump of coal becomes a diamond. Giving God praise, especially when the chips are down, when the pressure is on, will prime the pump of our hearts and allow us to develop an attitude of wanting to give beyond ourselves. But it's got to start from within. It's not just something we can conjure up and make up. It's got to start deep within the well of our heart, and it starts with giving praise to God. Do you have a giving spirit within you this morning towards the Lord? Do you have a spirit of generosity towards God this morning? How much praise are you willing to give Him authentically today? A giving spirit is one that is intentionally looking for opportunities to make somebody else's day. Do you have a giving spirit? A giving spirit is one that intentionally is looking to make somebody else's day. What if you were to wake up every morning? Think about this for just a moment. What if you were to wake up every single morning and your job was simply to look for ways to surprise and delight other people? That would be a pretty cool job, wouldn't it? If you just got up every day and your sole purpose in life was to surprise and delight other people. Now, everybody, regardless of what they say, they like a good surprise. Nobody likes bad surprises. None of us like bad surprises. But everybody likes a good surprise. And good surprises usually take a little bit of thought and a little bit of intention to pull off well. A good surprise, thoughtfully pulled off, will produce delight every day of the week. But it has to be from the heart. It has to come from within. So what does this mean to intentionally go out and try to surprise and delight other people? It means, hey, we're getting up every day and we're doing we're on this mission to surprise and delight others. It means we're doing it for the good of others and not doing it for our own benefit, right? It means we are motivated by that love from within. We are motivated by that love from within. Is the intent of our generosity to get credit and acclaim? Because sometimes that's what's really happening in the background. We'll get somebody a gift. We'll do something for them. And it's because we have an ulterior motive. Or we simply just want to hear, oh, that was the best gift I've got. We just want the praise for giving. One way to practice giving from the heart the right way is to give anonymously so that they never knew who it came from, because it's not about getting credit. I want you to think about giving that a try this next week. How can you practice anonymous giving to someone in your circle of influence this week? How can you practice anonymous generosity to help you break the pattern of apathy in your life? By anonymously giving to somebody else, you're making their day, but you're actually helping to break the cycle and the pattern of apathy in your own life and in your own heart. It's one of the things that was so awesome about that day we were in the line at Dairy Queen. The fact that a person in front of us paid for our ice cream was a delightful surprise. That was awesome. It made my day. And part of what I think made it so delightful was that that generous gesture came from an anonymous stranger. Giving starts from within the heart, and then it inspires us to give from the heart. And then that empowers us, finally this morning, to give it forward. That inspires it, us to give it forward. That empowers us to give it forward in our lives, even when maybe giving the giving in our life isn't deserved by the people who are receiving the goodness that we're giving. The person who paid for my ice cream had no idea that they had no idea if I was a nice guy or a jerk. Now, what probably happened is they saw Pastor Vicky in the car and they knew her and they wanted to do it for her because she's nice to everybody. But they had no idea who we were, really. They just were giving it forward. It didn't really matter. There was no judgment call made by whoever paid for our ice cream that day. It was a random act of kindness, and it was not based on whether or not we were worthy to receive the gift. It is really difficult for us as human beings to pay it forward when we feel like the gift isn't deserved or the person who's receiving the gift isn't worthy of the gift. But that's the economy of this world speaking in our hearts. What would happen if Jesus only died for people who deserved it or for people who were, quote unquote, worthy? What would happen if that were the story of the gospel? As a matter of fact, I don't even think that's good news, that Jesus came only to save people who were worthy or people who deserved it, because that would be bad news for most of us because we're not worthy and we don't deserve the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That wouldn't be fair to the rest of humanity. But Jesus sets the example. He sets the example that giving, it starts from within. Giving that comes from the heart. Giving that pays it forward and giving that spurs others to love and good deeds. That's what Jesus did. He did it for all mankind, even though we didn't deserve it. Even when there's no reason to do so, make somebody's day this week. Whether you feel like they deserve it or not, that's not what it's about. Make their day. We need more of this type of generosity in the world. We need more of this type of giving without any reason. Giving even though it's not deserved. That's the kind of giving Christ has done for each and every one of us. We need to be living that type of giving out in our world, in our circle of influence. Not to get credit, but just to model what Jesus did. And when we pay it forward that way, we are modeling for others how easy it can be to give without merit or give without deserving. And maybe they, in turn, too, will turn around and pay it for the person in line behind them. Generosity can become more contagious than a virus. Think about it. As you look at this picture on the screen this morning, it starts from within, rooted in love. It comes from the heart, motivated by love. And it's paid forward and offered without condition, offered in love. Generosity, done well, done from the heart, done motivated out of love, can become more contagious than a virus. It really makes me hungry for Dairy Queen this morning. It really does. In closing, I want to ask you straight up, are you struggling with apathy right now? And I would have a feeling that there are many people out there within the sound of my voice who are struggling with apathy these days. We have come through a long season of pandemic, quarantine, mass politics, whatnot. We've come through a very long season of not being able to meet together in church, and it would be very easy to allow apathy to start creeping into our lives. Apathy towards God, apathy towards church, apathy toward people, apathy toward life in general. Friends, apathy left untreated is a silent spiritual killer. We have to be aware of it. apathy left untreated can be a spiritual killer. It's kind of like spiritual lead poisoning. It can kill us and we don't even know it's killing us because it's in our environment. We don't even realize that it's affecting us. Don't be lulled asleep by the enemy. We must be committed to spurring one another on to love and good deeds. We must be living into this passage in Hebrews this morning, and we must ask the Lord to renew that fire of love and generosity in our hearts that we first knew or that we've known in the past in our walk with Christ. Now, here's some homework for you this week that I hope will spur you into some intentional activity that will help you break the cycle of apathy in your life, okay? First of all, rate the level of apathy in your life, in your heart right now. I just want you to take a moment, some introspection, and maybe this is something you should think about over the next several days, but rate the level of apathy in your life right now. How often do you find yourself with an I don't care or it doesn't matter type of attitude creeping into your everyday thought life and your everyday routine? That's something that we need to let the Lord help us deal with. Also, I want this week for you to do something intentionally to surprise and delight somebody in your circle of influence. Do it on purpose. All right. I want you to do something to surprise and delight somebody. This intentionally doing something good for someone else will spur someone else onto good deeds. It will help you break the cycle of apathy. And maybe it may be motivated by love this week. And then the third thing that I want you to do this week, not only do I want you to surprise and delight somebody this week in your circle of influence, but I want you to give some thought and practice anonymously making somebody else's day this week. You're going to do something nice for them. They're never going to know where it came from. All right? They're just never going to know where it came from. You're not doing it for credit. You're not doing it to stroke your ego. You're doing this motivated out of love, simply to make somebody feel good, to help break up the monotony in their lives, and to break the cycle of apathy in your own. This is your homework for this week. You've got all week to do it. You don't need to do this right now. But what I would say is, if you're feeling like you're being, like you're struggling with apathy this morning, the remedy for apathy is to pay it forward, to pay it forward. The remedy for apathy is to give intentionally, rooted in love. The remedy for apathy in your life is to give anonymously, simply to make somebody else feel good. The remedy for apathy is to give right from the heart. And it will help us get back on the path to building resiliency in our lives and to being able to bounce back in the midst of hard times and setbacks. Apathy does not have to hold us back. Apathy does not have to hold sway over us. We can break out of apathy and build resiliency in our lives, but we can't do it from the sidelines. We got to get in the game. And the play you need to run is generosity rooted in love. It will help you to bounce back. Let's pray together this morning, Maplewood. We're going to let you go today. Thank you for joining us. And I'm thankful for your attentiveness. Easy for me to say this morning as we've gathered together. I want to pray for you now. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that as we reflect on this message and we reflect on Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, Lord, that you would be working in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, to break the ice in our hearts with regard to maybe the feelings of apathy that are creeping in our lives. Lord, the enemy would love for us to just not care. The enemy would love for us to just be neutral and not moving and not doing anything. But Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to wake up to the level of apathy in our own hearts and lives, and that you would renew our spirits with your love this morning. And may your love be poured into our souls, and may it come out of us in the form of intentionally giving to others, not for credit, but just to make them happy. And Lord, may we realize that as we act out of love towards one another and give and are generous, it will help us break out of this cycle of apathy. It'll help us better represent your kingdom in our circle of influence. It will make us better able to withstand these tough times, to renew our sense of optimism and hope and enthusiasm, Lord. Father, that's what we need today. And we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would spark the fire in our hearts, renew that sense of purpose and love in each and every one of us, Lord, so that we can break out of apathy and break into being better representatives of your kingdom during these days. Lord, I'm thankful for our Maplewood family. I pray, Lord, that you bless us now as we go our separate ways. Protect us. And Father, I pray that your blessing would be on each and every one of our households. May we be filled with your love. May we go and give in generosity, spurring one another on in love this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.